Thank you, brother. That was concise and quick. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're going to do anything, you'll have to pray. Whatever you do, whether it's missions, winning people to Christ, establishing a church. This was established out of Independent Bible Baptist Church in Charlotte. We were a mission church out of their church. And whatever you do, you have to have prayer in it. If you want your loved ones saved, you have to pray. Now, in Luke chapter 11, most people know the first few verses because they call it the Lord's Prayer. It was not the Lord's Prayer. They asked him how to pray, and he gave them an example, an outline of how to pray. And tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit, a few minutes, about getting your prayers answered. A lot of people pray and their prayers are never answered. And they want to know why. And I would blame that on one of two things. I would say either they're biblically unlearned or nobody's ever told them. There are times in the Bible where someone cried out in an instant of emergency or something like that, and God automatically answered their prayers. Even unbelievers. Now, there's a lot of our brethren say God don't answer the prayers of an unbeliever. He has. He has me. He has you. I wouldn't be here today if several times in my life I cried out and had mercy on me, let me live when I should have been dead. And we know that's true. So in verses 1 through 4, it says, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," that means holy, "thy kingdom come," we want your will, "thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now that's a model prayer. That's not the prayer you pray every time. It won't hurt you to pray that, but you need to get a little more personal than that. That's a general prayer. Now you go to football games, they'll pray that prayer. I'm not against that. If they'll just pray, I'm not against it, in Jesus' name. School graduations, things like that. But he didn't mean for us just to sit around and repeat this prayer over and over and over. He wants us to be specific. And there's some other things he wants. Now in verse 5, he said unto them, "Which of you having a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed, and with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." In other words, he didn't give up. And he said because he wouldn't give up, he gave him whatever he asked for. Now, a lot of things about that, you know, he was his friend, and he came at midnight when everybody was in the bed. And somebody had come to see him, and he didn't have the food to feed him, so he goes to his friend and asked him, and his friend said, "Look here, we're in the bed, go away," and he wouldn't go away. There's another story of an unjust judge, and Jesus told it. And a man died, and his neighbor took the property and wouldn't give it to his wife, and his wife went to the judge, and he said, "Don't trouble me, I'm not listening to you." And because she kept going back and kept going back and kept going back, finally the judge gave her what she wanted. And he said, God, same way, don't give up, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. It may be a test of your faith. Keep praying. Now, so then we get to, if you will, in verse 9, he says some things I want to talk to about tonight. Now he says in verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. In verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Apathy probably is the worst thing a person can have. They just sit there. Mission works are never done if you don't ask. Nobody will ever support you if you don't spread the news. Nobody will ever be saved if you don't ask them to be saved. Nobody will ever give if you don't ask them to give. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of people think that they don't have to pray. I heard a preacher say one time, and it's probably the dumbest thing I ever heard a preacher say, and I'm a preacher, I can repeat this. He said, I think it's a sin to ask God more than one time for something. That's what he said. He said, because you're showing lack of faith. Well, I think verse 9 proves that wrong. He said, ask, seek, knock. That's a continual thing. That's not, well, I ask one time, that's it. And there are a lot of stubborn people that way. There's a lot of ignorant people that way. They'll ask for something one time and they'll quit. And they usually don't get what they need because they won't ask. Maybe their pride gets in the way and they won't ask. Well, I can handle this. Well, you can't handle it. You need help. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs help. Amen? Now, I'm a pretty healthy fellow. My feet hurt. My back hurts. My eyesight's going bad. But I'm a pretty healthy fellow. I'm like, who was that? Kenny Rogers saying, I just check in to see what condition my condition's in every once in a while. Amen? So I have to ask God for things. I ask him every day. Me and my wife pray and we say, Lord, give us health and give us wealth so we won't have to worry about those things. We can serve you and not go chasing money or hanging out at the health club, you know, or getting on these health and nut things, you know. Every little thing comes along, people jump on it. Why don't they just ask God for health?
Amen.
Amen. But you're not going to get something if you don't ask for it. People get mad at you because something that maybe you'll get successful. Maybe God will bless you at something. And they think that you ought to share it with them, but they never ask. And they say, well, you didn't give me none. I say, you never ask. If you'd ask, I'd give it to you. And God, same way, he wants you to ask. Amen. He wants you to knock. He wants you to seek. Because, see, when you do that, you're in contact with him and you're fellowshipping with him and you're communicating with him. And that way he can communicate back and be in contact back and fellowship back. But if you go close yourself up in a room somewhere, never pray, never seek God, never ask God for anything, I'm pretty sure all you're going to get is what you already got.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's a couple things, though, if you are going to ask. It is conditional. Salvation is unconditional. You get it because you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That doesn't cost you anything. It's unconditional. You ain't got to do anything to keep it. It's unconditional. But prayer is conditional. And there's some conditions on prayer. When my kids ask me for something, there's some conditions on it. Amen? And the Bible says he's a better father than I am. So, number one, look at verse 1. He said, in verse 1, the last part of that verse, he said, teach us to pray. And in verse 2, he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not your buddy. He's not the old gray-haired. He's not Santa Claus. He's a holy God.
Amen.
He's thrice holy. He's pure. He's perfect. He's holy. He's high above all others. There's none other greater. You don't go up to him and just talk to him like he's the old man. He's not the old man. He's God. And you better honor him and address him correctly or he's not going to listen to you.
Right.
Sometimes smart little kids will walk around here. Yeah, I'm talking about yours and your grandkids. And they'll walk around here and they'll say, "Hey, preach." I don't even look at them. I just keep right on going. Or they'll say some little smart aleck remark. I act like they didn't even talk. I just go on and go about my business. You know why they didn't show respect? Now, if they show respect, I'll do anything in the world for them. I'll probably do things they never asked for. But if they don't even respect me, why would I respect them? And why would God honor our prayers if we disrespect Him? If we don't honor Him. Amen? Amen. You better say our Father, which art in heaven. He's the Heavenly Father. And then in James chapter 4, verse 15, and I'm going fast as I can, Brother Joshua, but I just can't go that fast. James 4:15, and he says, "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Number one, if you're going to pray and ask God for something, you better ask, is it the Lord's will? See, everything you want ain't good for you. Our children ask us for things that ain't good for them. And if we're a good parent, we won't get it. It's not our will. And just because it's their will doesn't mean it's going to be our will. Because you know why? We know more than they do. We've been around longer than they have. I'm father. I'm not one of the boys. And so they better find out, what would Daddy think about this request in the first place? Amen?
Amen.
And there's been times, you know, we said no. And they said, "Why not? Everybody else." And I said, "You ain't everybody else." And sometimes I just say, "Because I said so." Because to explain something to a 10-year-old is like talking to a rock. You don't explain nothing to a 10-year-old. You say, "I'm grown. I'm the daddy. You're the youngin'. Shut up. I told you no." That's it. You'll understand when you're a daddy. You say, "Well, oh, you'll make them hate you." No, you won't. When they grow up, they'll say, "I'm glad Dad never did give me that request."
Right.
Amen. But you got to find out, is it God's will? Now, if it's not God's will, He's not going to bless it. And if He doesn't bless it, then it's not going to turn out good. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. Because a lot of things that we want are our flesh, not our spirit.
Right.
These little old girls see these little, and they think they're cute. I think they're some of the straggliest looking boys I've ever seen in my life. But they'll see these little old boys, you know, and they just love him. And, "Daddy, can I go to the movies with him?" No. Why not? I'll tell you when you get 21. You wouldn't understand. Amen?
Right.
Or these little old boys see these little gals all dooted up and flared out like the new ones, you know, and they covered from head to toe in makeup and all that stuff, you know, and that little old boy, "Whoo, I'm in love. Daddy, can we go to the movie?" No.
Amen.
You'll thank me when you get married to the right one.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, God, same way. When He don't give us what we ask for, we'll just say, "Lord, I don't understand it, but I appreciate it, whatever it is."
Amen.
It must be good that you don't give me this. Amen?
Yeah.
Because all good gifts come from the Father above.
Yeah.
He's not going to give you a snake if you ask for bread. I mean, a stone. And He's not going to give you a fish, a snake if you ask for fish. That snake's hard to get. But listen, He's going to give you what you need.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean what you ask for sometimes. Sometimes He's not going to say anything. You just ain't going to get it. So, number one, you got to ask, is this God's will? Is this God's will what I'm about to pray? And then, number two, James 1:22. While you're over there, James 1:22, another condition of answered prayer. "But ye, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, what you need to figure out is it being obedient to the Word of God. Be ye doers of the Word. Now, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, I can go ahead and tell you, God didn't give you that.
Amen.
You can ask for it all you want to. If you got it, the devil gave it to you. I love this story I'm about to tell. I've told it 10,000 times. Some of y'all done wrote it down, got it numbered, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I'm an old man. I'm running out of stories. So I worked with this guy at warehousing, public warehousing for years when I was younger and trying to preach and go to Bible college. And he's a big bingo fan. I'd invite him to church. He wouldn't come to church. Said he was a believer, but he didn't go to church. Big bingo. Went to bingo, though. Every Wednesday night, his religious experience was bingo. Yeah. And he came in one day, he said, "Well, the Lord answered a prayer." I said, "How did he do that?" He said, "I won $350 at bingo last night." I said, "Lord didn't give you that money." He said, "Yes, he did. I prayed and he gave it to me." I said, "Devil heard that prayer. Devil gave you that money." I said, "The Lord ain't going, he's not going to reward you for gambling." Oh man, I can't believe the preacher said bingo's gambling. My goodness. But the Lord will not give you something that will make you disobedient to the word that he's already given you. He'll never disagree with what he's already written.
Amen.
Y'all don't get hung up on that bingo now. If you play bingo, then maybe you better just quit. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you'll look at verse 4 there in chapter 11, "And forgive us our sins," he says. Now, he's not going to reward you if you're living disobediently. Brother Ron, if you were my youngin' and I let you drive my car and you wrecked it, and next week you come and said, "Daddy, I'm going off to college next week, I need a car," and say, "You're going to have to find it somewhere else. You ain't getting it here. You wrecked my car, and I know how you drive, and I'm not giving you a car to tear up." By the way, if you buy a car for a teenage boy, don't pay over $1,200 for it, because it ain't going to run in a week or two. Now, girls are different. If you don't believe me, go to the insurance department. Ask them how much a 17-year-old boy has to pay on insurance until he turns 25.
Yes.
The girls are different. Some of them. Some of them ain't. But what you've got to do, you've got to realize that when you sin, God's not answering your prayer until you get the sin out of the way.
Yes.
Amen. Now, if my child, and listen, there's more parents destroying their children by giving them things they ask for while they're being disobedient and unthankful. If you're not thankful for what I've given you and you're not obedient to what I tell you, I'm not giving you anything else till you ask me to forgive you.
Amen.
And that's the way parents ought to be. But now parents try to appease their children and make them better by giving them what they ask for, when you'd make them better if you didn't give them what they asked for until they got right with you.
Amen.
They're going to run all over you. I see it all the time. They just run all over their parents. They run all over their grandparents. Disrespectful, unthankful. Come on, help me, people.
Amen.
Amen. There ain't many in here tonight. You can say amen. You don't have to be scared of youngins. They ain't here tonight. But we're going to have to confess our sins.
Yes, sir.
Every time I pray. I'm not talking about drinking liquor. That's a sin. You ought to confess it. I'm not talking about drugs. That's a sin. You ought to confess it. But I'm talking about every day.
Yeah.
The first thing I do is say, "Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God." Even when you don't do right, that's a sin. The Bible says, "He that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him is sin."
Yes.
It's not always something you did wrong. Sometimes it's just something you didn't do.
Right.
Every day we come short of the glory of God. So every day when you pray, the first thing you'll do is recognize him as your Father, and the second thing you'll do is confess your sins.
Amen.
You say, "Well, I ain't got nothing to say." You just did. You lied. You got something to say. "Lord, forgive me for lying." We can't make it past the first commandment. We don't love him like we ought to every day, all day long. Amen. So number one, you got to ask to honor him as your Father. Number two, you got to ask him for, make sure that you're in his will. And number three, you better get your sins out of the way or he's not even going to hear it. David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart," he didn't say if I had iniquity. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer."
Amen.
Now we've all got iniquity at some time or another, but hanging on to it. regarding it. He said you need to confess it. If you don't get what you want, confess your sins. And then number three, Luke 11 again, verse 4 again, he says that last part, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You better pray for deliverance. Well, preacher, I'm doing all right. I wouldn't let the devil know that. He said, lead us not, don't let the devil tempt me. Because, see, he knows that we're all prone to wonder, as the psalm says. And we pray, God, deliver us today from temptation. Deliver us from evil today. Because between the start of your day going to work and by the time you get home, I guarantee you, you'd have been tempted to evil. And sometime you'll fail before you ever get home from work. Especially if you drive from Charlotte to York County. Now, I said that funny, but it's the truth. If I had religion, I lost it every time I get in that traffic. When I sat in three changes of the stoplight on Celanese, down there at Indy Hook, stop at top of the hill, two lanes, and I watched that light change three times. By the third time, I'm about to lose my religion. I don't cuss, bro, but if somebody else did, I'd say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I say, Lord, deliver me from this stuff. I'm prone to wonder. And you say, well, that make God mad. No, I want to make God glad. He's the one that told you to do that, see. And when you get to where you think you don't have to pray for deliverance, that's when you really need deliverance. You're full of sinful pride. And you done got hard-hearted, and you've gotten so used to evil, and that word toleration, we tolerate it, and we tolerate them. We'll not do that. We'll rebuke evil. We'll stand against evil. We'll turn against evil. Turn away from evil. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm talking about your favorite song on the radio.
Yes.
Your favorite TV program, whatever it might be. Look at this, chapter 11, verse 9. I'm just about through. Can y'all believe that? He made me preach faster. You need to come more often. Luke, chapter 11, look at verse 9. He says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What is the word that's mentioned three times? Come on, class, help me. What's the three-time word there? Shall. Three times. He said it shall. You know what that means? Any of y'all have been coon hunting? Probably not. Maybe one or two of you look like you probably was in on it. They let them dogs loose. They don't go chasing them. They sit on the back of that truck and tell stories. Them dogs, woo, woo, woo. And then they'll hear his tone go up. They'll say, look for it! Look for it! That's what shall means. Look for it!
Amen.
It's coming your way! Look for it! The Lord's going to drive it back around your way! Those dogs will run that coon all the way back up there to you where you can shoot him. Amen. That's why lazy people love coon hunting. But it's almost as bad as a deer stand. But that's real hunting there. But pray. Look for it. It's coming. You ever had a prayer answered? You didn't have one that shocked you because you was already praying for it. You had to ask. You had to seek. And you had to knock. And it shall. And it shall. And it shall. And one day, it did. That's how you get an answer. Now, I'm not telling you the same night like the coon hunter now. It may be days or weeks or even years. But if you'll honor God, you'll seek His will, you'll be obedient to the best of your ability, and then you'll confess your failures when you do fail. And then you pray for deliverance from evil so you don't wander away. And you keep praying. And you keep praying. And you keep praying. And you keep praying. And you keep knocking. And you keep looking. Sooner or later, Something's going to happen.
Amen.
Now, so I'm not telling you you're going to get everything you want, but I'm going to tell you there's going to be an answer to that prayer.
Yes.
And you'll know it when it comes.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, now, when those good old boys sitting out there in that deer stand, they can tell the difference between a deer and a raccoon when he goes by. And a Christian can tell the difference between a yes and a no when it finally comes by. Amen?
Amen.
You shall, it shall, and it shall. God's answered a lot of my prayers. You don't know where I come from. Boy, he's been good to me. You know, after I got saved and began to witness to my old friend, my family and stuff, the Lord began to do things for me. I wanted some nice clothes to wear at church. I'd never had any nice clothes. I had one suit I got married in. I had one suit. I got married at 21. I got married in that suit. And I didn't even know how to tie a tie. My daddy-in-law, who's that tall, he put the tie around his neck and tied it. And then he left it tied and slipped over his head and put it over my head. And it come to right there. I'd never had a tie. I thought it looked pretty good. I'll show you my wedding pictures. You can see it. It's like that in my wedding picture. Me and my wife had the same hairdo. We looked like Dr. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Suit. You can tell that boy ain't never had a suit. But I wanted to look good. And then after I got saved, I had that one suit. And I wore that thing and wore that thing. I prayed, Lord, give me another suit. Lord, give me. Y'all remember denim suits? Had a collar on them that big, you know, the collar. Stuck up like Elvis, you know. Had those white strings in them. Y'all remember? You can see all the white. I walked in church so proud with that thing. I just thought, man, I got me a suit. I didn't know. I got a closet full of suits. I finally gave some away about a year or two ago. I think I gave Rick and Thomas a couple of them. They didn't know those suits was 20 years old. And they come walking here, I got me a suit.
Amen.
Amen. I asked him to give me some clothes. He gave me some clothes. When I got married, I had two Winn-Dixie bags of clothes. Some of y'all don't even know who Winn-Dixie is. Had two Winn-Dixie bags of clothes. That's all I own. Boy, he's been good to me.
Yes,
I started going back home talking about Jesus, how good he'd been to me. And you can ask my wife. My family and my friends started thinking I'd got rich. They did, didn't they, Terry? They thought I was rich. They told her one time, my sister told her one time, said, you don't even have to work. Because the Lord gave us nice clothes. And we had a car to ride in. We had a house that we was struggling to pay for. And but they thought we was rich because we prayed and God gave us stuff. Amen?
Yes.
I'm not saying we didn't struggle. I'm not saying everything happened overnight. But now, where I live, some of y'all would look at it and say, well, that's a pretty nice little house on an acre. But where I come from, people say, man, you got a mansion.
Yes.
We took some little girl home with us one day after church, and as we were driving up the driveway, she said, wow, look at your house. It's built in 1970-something. It's second-hand. We bought it and had to fix it up. It still needs some fixing up. Anybody want to come help on that? But let me tell you something. If you'll honor him and you'll be obedient to him and you'll pray and confess it when you're not, and you'll pray for deliverance from evil. And then you ask and you seek and you knock. All you got to do is look for it. And if you don't get it, when you don't get it, there'll be a peace of God that goes with your note that says, well, I'm better off. He's going to do something better than that. He's going to do. There's some things I never got. But later on, I got something else that was better than that. How's your prayer? How's your prayer? Think about the missionary. I was at church one day and a friend of mine walked in. He had four I think there were Japanese Christians with him. He'd been over on a mission trip, brought him home with him. He said, they want to pray with you. I said, oh, all right. I need somebody to pray for me. And he said, I'll start it off, then they'll pray. So he prayed, you know, and then something happened. I don't know what it was. It was ying, yang, 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 wah, go, ya, chi, mo, ah, ya, yo, yo, and I thought, whoa, we're speaking in tongues here and I have no translator. They didn't know a word of English, not one. They'd nod when I talked and they'd smile. Did not know one. But you know what? I felt God. Amen. I felt God come in that room. When they got through, I was crying.
Yes.
I thanked them for coming. I don't think they understood a word I said, but I just think with tears in my eyes, I thanked them for coming and praying for me. And they walked out, and I felt like God had answered their prayer.
Amen.
How's your prayer? What you praying for? He says, without me, you can do nothing. You better pray. You better pray about your life. You better pray about your family. You better pray about your children, your grandchildren. You better pray for your health. You better pray for your wealth. You better pray for your Christianity. You better pray for your church, your pastor. You better pray for your country.
Yes, amen.
If you're not saved tonight, he wants to answer your prayers. But until you let him adopt you, he can't. You know, I was over at the Dollar Tree one day. That tells how much money I got. Around Christmas, and I was looking for some stuff. And this lady came in, and she was rough. You could tell she was rough. And her husband was rough. He stayed outside most of the time. And you could tell, you know, they were poor. And brought back so many memories of me and my little brother. And had two little old children, a little boy and a little girl. And they said, can I have this? Can I have this? And Grandma walked over, and she said, baby, I got $2. And buy you one thing and her one thing. And boy, they'd see something in hand. Well, this is what I want. This is what I want. And she'd say, all right, let's get that. And then whenever she'd get, they'd go over and say, no, this is what I want. This is what I want. And finally, I had some loose ones in my pocket. And I walked over. I said, ma'am, this reminds me of me and my little brother. I said, take this and buy them youngins something. I should have given her $20. But she didn't even ask for it. If she'd asked, I probably would have dug it out. So let me ask you something, sinner. God wants to answer your prayers. But you sure limit him. Because he's not going to interrupt your life. Those weren't my children. If they'd been my children, boy, I'd have took them through there and loaded them down. It's $1 apiece. All over that store. And you know what? If you'll ask God to save you and adopt you in his family, he'll load your wagon. He'll load your wagon. I don't know why you don't do it. He'll give you eternal life. He'll keep you saved. He'll give you everything you need from here to glory. So if you're not saved tonight, let me invite you down front. And there's going to be a preacher right here. Come here, preacher. He's got a Bible. He'll read you. He'll take you back here privately and got 3 or 4 verses. He'll read you, and then he'll just help you pray. He'll tell you what to pray if you need to. And you can be adopted into the family of the Heavenly Father. He can help you. Now, if you are saved, maybe you haven't been doing what I said tonight. Maybe you've fallen off on your prayer life. Why don't you come down here at the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been praying like I ought to. Lord, I haven't been trusting you. I haven't been obedient. Forgive me, Lord. Help me start over tonight so we can get back into business answering our prayers. Amen? Amen. Get your hymn book. Father, you know the hearts. You know what we need. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Song number?
Number 445.